Today's shiur is Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Yud. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tes Amud Beis, the last words on the Amud. Who started was this document of Ksibei Shich Shnim Yisertab. The document was post-dated by 7 years. And Savarab Rabbanan Kamei Rav Nachman Lameimer. What they assumed is, as we were learning in our previous shiur as well, documents in those days were typically dated according to the years of the Greek Empire. And what they assumed was that this document was written with that date in mind, and it was deliberately post-dated by 7 years. And the reason it was deliberately post-dated by 6 years is, as we've discussed many times in our shiurim, the halacha is that a document, one of the purposes of a document, is that you could collect from a shubadim. From when the document is written, you could go after the mortgage, any property that was sold after the loan took place is mortgaged to that loan. And the assumption here was that this document was post-dated by 6 years to give the loiva the opportunity that it should be post-dated, and that they can't go after the lekuchis until after six years. Anything that has before 6 years, there's no mortgage on. So again, Sav Rabbanan Kamei Rav Nachman Lameimer, they were on the assumption that this was deliberately post-dated, shtamuchu, it was deliberately post-dated by 6 years. And therefore, they said, Nakve, it should be held back. Adamot is manu litreif. It should be held back. I think what Bain says, the Bezdin should hold on to this document and not allow anybody to use it, because it would be used improperly, because you can't use it until that date comes. Amar Rav Nachman says, the Gemara, Rav Nachman says that it's difficult to assume that that's what happened here. Rather, he said what must have happened here was, Hai Sar Dafka Kasvei, the cipher wrote it very deliberately. But what he did was, as we discussed, and now we're going to discuss it more, is that they wrote documents according to the date of the Greek Empire. But not only did they write documents according to the date of the Greek Empire, but we alluded in our previous year that the Greek Empire started first only ruling over Elam, and only which is what we know of Shushan Apira, Persia, Iran, and only 6 years later did they begin to rule over the entire world. And what must have happened here, says Rav Nachman, the cipher deliberately wrote it that year, and the 6 years that it seems to be misstated is because Hanach Shit Shin and the Malcha Balaam represent the 6 years that Greece was over Elam, the non Loichashvin Elu. We don't count those 6 years when we speak about the Greek Empire. And this cipher who wrote this document, Kachoshvalei, did count those 6 years. And if that's what happened, Bezmane Kasvei, the document was written properly. And the way the Rishonim explain that it's highly unlikely to write a document post-dated for 6 years. Also, I saw the Rishonim suggest that it's unusual that the cipherim should make such a big mistake about the date. And what must have happened here is that this cipher, instead of just using the date for when Greek came in power over the entire world, he uses the date for when Greece was in power over Elam. The Tanya, as the Bryson D teaches us, Rabbi Yosef Moshe Shonam Molcha Be'Elam, for 6 years, the Greeks were only over Elam, and only after that, Poshtim Achusim Chalayim Kulay, that they take over the entire world. Ask the Gemara, Maskula Rachabi Yaakov, Mamai the Malchus Yavim Meninen, who says that we write from the Greek Emperor, the Moyetzius Mitzrayim Meninen. Maybe the years that were counted are from Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was 1,000 years, exactly 1,000 years before the Greek Empire began. And if that's the case, it should be 1,000 years, the date should be 1,000 years more. The Shafgil Alpha Kama, they, in order to make it easier, the Shafgil Alpha Kama, they omit the first 1,000. The Nakhte Alpha Basra, they write the second 1,000. And if that's the case, we go back to what we said at the beginning of the Shir, V'hai Mochahu, then this star will indeed be a star Ocher. And the Rashba explains to say that the Gemara assumes that since Yetzias Mitzrayim was such a significant event in our history, it makes more sense to say that our Soferim, when they write a star, write it from Yetzias Mitzrayim versus assuming that they wrote from Malchus Yavam. And then the Ravid adds one more very important element to this. There's a rule that whenever we have a star, we have a rule, Yad Baal Shtar HaTachtoina. We're not that quick to explain that the star is a good star and there was a mistake. So why are we here? And that's what we should do here too. Answers the Gemara. Omer Rav Nachman, says Rav Nachman, B'goyla Eimonim El Malcha Yivonim Bavad. In the Golas, they only counted from Malcha Yavon. That was the rule that they followed, that they always followed the Greek count and nothing else. Says Seder Rishonim. Nowadays, when we write shtaris, shtaris are all written according to the current year, whether they're written in the Hebrew year or in the secular year. And therefore, when a shtar is written, even if it doesn't say Lebriyas HaOlam, it's self-understood that that's what is meant. And I think that's pshat in the Gemara here as well. Just like in those days, everybody wrote to the Greek Empire, nowadays, everybody writes to the year of existence. And therefore, since everybody writes to the year of existence, that becomes what's obvious. And starting to think anything else is not is inappropriate, doesn't make any sense. And obviously, that's why we don't count towards the Greek Empire anymore, because the Greek Empire doesn't exist anymore. And moreover, not only, obviously, does the Greek Empire no longer exist, so it would make no sense to count towards the Greek Empire, but the Rishonim take this actually a step further. So good, we're not counting to the Greek Empire, because as we just said, there is no Greek Empire, but maybe we should count to the government or the country that we live in according to how many years they're in existence. So Rishonim say, in the time of the Gemara, counting to the year of the world was considered a sign of respect to the government. B'zman hazeh, counting to that year, doesn't represent a sign of respect. And since it doesn't represent a sign of respect, there's no reason for anybody to assume that that's what's being done. Says the Gemara, who sava? So Rav Rachba Yaakov thought that what Rav Nachman did here was the chuyu kamatchalei. He was writing it, he was just trying to push him off, but there is no necessarily real obligation to write to the Greek empire. But says the Gemara, Nofik Doik for Ashkach, he found the Tanya. There's a Brisha that says explicitly, Begoilim Eimoinim Elamach Yivana Belvad, that in Golus we only count towards the Greek Empire. Amravina, Mis Nisan Namidaik, that from our Mishnah we could also prove that we always count to the Greek Empire. The Mishnah says at the beginning of Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Bechad Rosh Hashanah, Bechad Ben Nissan, the first of Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah L'Melachim L'Regolim. When we say it's Rosh Hashanah L'Regolim, what it means is that we know that if somebody makes a donation, there's a pasuk that says, Kisida Nadal L'Hashem L'Kecha L'Sa'ach L'Shalmei. We're not allowed to delay paying our obligation, which means that it has to be paid up within 3 regolim. And what we're learning here is that which is the first of those 3 regolim? Rosh Chodesh Nissan Pesach. The pasuk says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. So the Steglmach Nefraim says, What does it mean when the pasuk says Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim? Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem, he says the letters of Lachem are the same letters as the word Melech. And that pasuk is teaching us the halacha that we're learning now, that Echad B'Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Melochem. V'amrinan L'Melochem What does it mean when he said it's Rosh Hashanah Melachim? Amar Rav Chisda L'Shtaris. That means, as soon as Rosh Chodesh Nisan passes, that means even, let's say, a king became king in Adar, and when Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, he's barely been king for a couple of weeks, it's already considered year two. But Tanan, the Mishnah says, Bech V'Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim V'L'Shtaris. That means when we count the year, we count from the Rosh Hashanah. V'amrinan, l'shana mayhach. So Amran l'shtaris. That we count shtaris, when is it a new year? On Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. And right away, we have a kasha, shtaris adadi, we have a stira. Here it says Nisan, and here it says Tishrei. V'amrinan, mishaninan, and the answer is, kan l'malcha Yisrael, kan l'malcha ev t'chavim. Malcha ev t'chavim, for non-Jewish kings, Tishrei Meninan, we count from Tishrei. Malka Yisrael, Menissa Meninan, we count from Nisan. Vanan, Hashta Metishrei Ninan. We begin counting from Tishrei. Visakadatach, if we're going to say that the proper time to count is Litzis Mitzrayim Meninan, to count for Litzis Mitzrayim. So Litzis Mitzrayim obviously took place in Nisan. So if we count, we date Shtoris according to Yis Mitzrayim, it ought to be Menissan Banin Lamimni. We ought to start counting from Nissan. Elav, from here we see, the Shmam del Malchi Yavonim, we count from Malchi Yavonim, and therefore we count from Tishrei. But we see clearly that we count from Tishrei. The Chasam Sofer explains why for Malchi Yisrael do we count from Nisan, and for Malchi Umas we count from Tishrei. So he says, the Umas, what makes them great? What makes them great is that they were created. When did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create them? In Tishrei. What makes Klal Yisrael great is not the fact that we were created. What makes us great is the fact that we are the Avdei Hashem. And when did we become the Avdei Hashem? We became the Avdei Hashem in Nisan, and that's why for Malchi Yisrael we count from Nisan. V'yom genusu shemalchem. The Mishnah identified that that's considered one of their holidays, with the halachas that we've been speaking from the beginning of Masechta about holidays. Yom Genusi is one of them. Ask the Gemara, "Mind v'Yom Genusi Shemachem." What does that mean? Amar Rav Yehuda, "Yom Shemamidim by Avik Chomus Malcolm." That's the day that they inaugurate a new king, and they make that a day of rejoicing to the Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, how could we give that explanation to Yom Genusya? But ask the Gemara, the Brisa says, Yom Genusya v'Yom Shemimidim Malcolm. So clearly it indicates that they're two different things. One is the Yom Genusya, and one is the Yom Shemimidim Malachim. And it's the Gemara like Hasha. Had the day, had the bray. When we speak about Yom Shemimidim Malach, it's that the day that the king himself was inaugurated. And when it speaks about Yom Genusya, they would appoint already in the king's lifetime his son as a successor. Like that, the king would be assured that it would pass on to his son. That's called Yom Genusya. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Omi Muk Mamaka Ba Malka, is that true that they would appoint a son to be successor of the father? For Tana Reb Yosef, ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, the pasuk says regarding Edom, a pasuk in Avadja, he named cotton the satiha begoyim, and the pasuk, what's the definition of cotton? Shema shiva melech by melech. Just in all other kings, they would appoint a son to take over their father. By Romi, it wasn't that way. And when the pasuk continues to say about them, and the reason is because they didn't have good children, and therefore they didn't have good children, they weren't worthy that their children should be the successor. And when the pasuk says further about him, about Edom, Bozi Atam Oid, what it means is Sheinlam like Sav, they don't have their own script, for Leiloshan, they don't have their own language. So here we see that what makes them particularly week is that Eim Lehem Melech Ben Melech. Eim Shiva Melech Ben Melech, they don't have children that replace them. So there's a question, of course, that is a very big discussion in the Paiskim, that the halacha is that if a son by us inherits his father, the question is, even unlike Edom, that the son is not appointed, by us, a son is appointed. And the question is, why? So the Chasam Sofer says that the Al Gemara is difficult to understand. The Al Gemara says that they made a rule that children never inherit the father. Why? He says that there was a concern, the Romans had a concern, says the Chasam Sofer, that somebody may have a son that is really not worthy of being king, but he's going to say, I'm the son, and that's why I should be the king. So what happened is that they said a son doesn't automatically become a successor. What it means is that we have to see who the son is. If the son is worthy, then he will succeed. If not, he won't succeed. But they didn't want to create an environment that a son has to succeed. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, that by us, it's the same. If somebody is a rov or has a position of authority, what the halacha says is that the son comes first. But if the son is not worthy and there's somebody else who's better, then the other person should get the position. But then the Chasam Sofer takes this a step further. He says, what Avadya means to say in that pasuk regarding Rome, about Edom, is that, yes, given what we just said, that a son, if he's worthy, goes first, and if not, he doesn't go first, what was said here was that they are the kind, they are the kind of people who ultimately, who never had a son that was worthy to be a successor. So what the pasuk is teaching us is that not only it wasn't automatic, as we're learning, but it's much more than just not being automatic. They didn't have anybody who was worthy to be a successor of their father. Says the Gemara, Eli Yom Genusia. So again, so we can't say that Genusia means when the son is appointed, because sons weren't appointed. Says the Gemara, my Yom Genusia, Yom Haleida. They used to make a birthday party on the king's birthday for the Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, but how can we say that Yom Genusya means the Yom Haleida, but there's a brayso that says Yom Genusya v'Yom Haleida, clearly indicating that these are two separate things, the Genusya and the Leida. And so the Gemara, like Kasha, ha the day, ha the bray. One speaks about his birthday, Yom Haleida means his birthday, and Yom Genusya means his son's birthday. But ask the Gemara, Tanya, Yom Genusya shaloi, v'Yom Genusya shabnoi, Yom Haleida shaloi, v'Yom Haleida shabnoi. Clearly indicating that when Yom Genusya has nothing to do not with his birthday or not with his son's birthday. So here there's an interesting discussion by the Paiskim. Here it's clear that they used to make a birthday party for the king, for the king's son. And the question is, how does the halacha look at birthday parties? Many are of the opinion that birthday parties have no place in halacha, because where do we find in halacha a birthday? The place in the Torah, where do we find a birthday? Yom Haleda is Paroi. So we see that Paroi had a birthday. Paroi celebrated birthdays. Others don't. And in general, this entire concept of anniversaries, I saw that when Rav Shimon Shkop became 50 years old, his Talmidim put out some sort of a sefer in honor of his 50th birthday, and they asked different Gedolei Yisrael to participate. One of the people they asked was Rav Chaim Eiser, and Rav Chaim Eiser writes a letter. He says that Rav Shimon Shkop, I know Rav Shimon Shkop, and this is not the type of celebration he wanted. On the other hand, the Gemara calls Chodesh Nisrei Yerachai Sonim, and the Gemara explains that the reason it's called Yerachai Sonim is Yerach Shenoy Leboy a Sonei Olam. That means it's a day that the Ovis were born, and it's a very, and therefore it's considered significant. I saw that Reb Chaim Kanievsky was asked that somebody that was supposed to have some sort of a medical procedure, an operation, and it was around the time of his birthday, and he was able to schedule it for his birthday. And he was asked, is the birthday a better day? And he says, absolutely yes. He says, the day a person is, a day is that's born is a day that represents a day of positive mazel. And the Sefer Sifrei Shel Tzaddikim says that on one's birthday, one should daven and ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for whatever he needs. Another minig is that on one's birthday, he should give bracha, give brachas to people, as the pasuk says, "Sham ani hayoyim yiladaticha, sham many netna." That's the day that one should ask for anything. Then I saw that Tres Yisrael says that he tells his children that on the birthday of any of his other of any child, all the other siblings should wish him well and give him bracha. So we see that we're different menhagim in Klal Yisrael regarding birthdays. But again, to what we're relevant, ask the Gemara, my Yom Genusya, what's the definition of Yom Genusya? Says the Gemara, Yom Shemimidah by Malcolm. It's the day they inaugurated the king. Ask the, says the Gemara of Eloi Kasha, but we said at the first price that was quoted, that Yom Genusya of Yom Shemimidah by Malcolm, it seems to say it's the two separate things. Answers the Gemara, had the day, had the bray. One is when he became king, and one is when his son becomes king. I asked the Gemara Kashaloch that we've been learning, the Loi Mekmi Malka by Malka, they didn't appoint sons to take over to the take over their father. Ayidei Shalom Mukmi. Answers the Gemara, if everybody agreed, then the Aloch is that they were able to do so. And we have a precedent for that. Kigon Asfiris ben Atunis, Asfiris, who was the son of Antunus, Malach, was appointed to be king. Amalei and Tignus LeRebbe. Tignus said to Rebbe, as we're speaking about this, Bina, the Imlach Asfiris b'ri tachtoi. I would like my son, Asfiris, to be my successor. But to Tavya Tavya Klanya. I also would like that Tveria, which is near where Rebbe lived, and Tveria was a place where Talmid Chachamim lived, and he wanted to be kind to the Talmid Chachamim, wanted that it should be made into a tax-free zone. And I saw the Mefarshim say that even though in those days Talmid Chachamim did not have to pay taxes anyway, but since it was a place where Talmid Chachamim lived, what they wanted to establish was that everybody, not just the Talmid Chachamim, but everybody who lives there should be tax exempt. V'emelahu, says the Gemara, if I'll tell the Senate, I'll tell my Congress that that's what I want to do. T'chada avdi, says the Gemara, what they're going to agree to do is one thing, trei loy avdi, but they won't do, if I ask for two things, that they won't do. So he was asking Rebbe, what should I do? The Mesh Chachma says that we see that Edom, already in those days, was very different than other countries. He says, when we look in the Chumash, when the Torah speaks about Edom, the Pasuk says, V'yoyme elav Edom, V'yimoyen Edom. It doesn't use the word Melech. When the Torah speaks about Sich and Oig, it always speaks about Melech Sich and Melech Oig. And the reason is, because as we're learning now, Edom was a sort of a different type of a government than all the other countries. In all the other countries, the governments were primarily a monarchy, the king. And in Edom, it really wasn't the king. It was really dependent on the Senate or whatever Congress, says the Gemara. So what should I do? Said the Gemara, Isa Gavra Akve Chavri. So Rebbe did not want to tell him explicitly what to do. He didn't want people to recognize that he's giving advice. So he said, what you should do is put one person on top of another person. If you have a yoina leve, and put a yoina dove over both that person. And tell the person on the bottom, tell the person on the bottom to tell the person above him to let the bird fly. Antonignus understood this is what he meant to say. At Boimine, what you should ask, that's first B'niyya Mechtatoi. All you should ask for is that he should become king. And once a Spherus is appointed king, Vaimle Lasphirus, the Tavit Tveri Lakanya, he'll, once he becomes king and he could do what he needs to do, he should free Tveria from taxes. And the reason Tveria is compared to a Yoina, as we know, the Pasuk says, Klai Yisrael is Nimshal Yoina. Says the Gemara further, Amale, so Antigonus said to Rebbe, Mitzan Lechshuvei Roimi, that the people, the important people of Rome are bothering me. What could I do? Said the Gemara, Smile Legize, he says he used to take Antigonus. So Rebbe again did not want to explicitly give him advice. But Antigonus, as we're going to learn, would come visit Rebbe regularly. He took him into a garden. Every day he would pull out a radish. Amma, so Antigonus said, this is what he means. At k'tol chad chad menayu, kill them, but kill them one at a time. And if you want to kill many at a time, there's a concern that they're all going to rebel against you. One at a time is not a concern. The reason he was allowed to kill them, even though it was just killing them, is for two reasons. One is because they were married by Malchus. They were rebelling against the king. And somebody who's married by Malchus is Chayiv Misa. The other reason that he did it is because they, Halacha teaches us, Habala Hargacha Hashkem Lahargoy. If somebody wants to start up with you, you take the first move. These people wanted to start up with him, and that's why he felt that he had the right and the need to do whatever he has to do to save himself. Asked the Gemara, so why didn't Rebbe explicitly tell Antigonus' advice? Says the Gemara, because Omar, Rebbe said to himself, Shamech Shuverumi, if the important people in Rome will hear what I'm giving advice, that they should be wiped out, Yitzarali, they're going to take revenge on me. Asked the Gemara, Velemele Belachish, so why didn't he say it, but not just say it quietly? Says the Gemara, B'shun Deksiv, the Pasuk says, even in the privacy of your home, don't curse the king. In the privacy of your room, bedroom, don't curse a wealthy person. The bird will carry it. The Zohar explains that this refers to the Malachi Havola. The Malachim, the Shadim, who are looking to do tzaras for Klal Yisrael, take this and will take it and make sure that the people who are not supposed to hear about it will hear about it. I saw another pshat that since the Romans were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and part of being Ovdei Avodah Zarah was that they very much connected themselves to the Shadim and to the Koyach HaTumah, and the Koyach HaTumah will reveal to them what happened. It says the Gemara, Havlehu Barta to Shema Gira. Antigonus had a daughter whose name was Gira. The Kavdei Sura, and she did an Averis. She had an adulterous relationship. Shadalai Gagira. So Antigonus sent to Rebbe a vegetable that's called Gagira. Gagira, what he meant to say was that she's following bad ways. Shadalai. So Rebbe sent them back again because they were speaking in hints. Shadalai, he sent back Kuzbarta, which means Kuzbarta, kill her. Shadalai Karti, he said, if I kill my daughter, I won't have anybody left. And even though we learned, and we're going to learn, that he had a son, so some explain that this took place before the son was born, and therefore, at that point, that was the only one that he had. Another pshat that I saw was a Svirus, was a grandson, and therefore, he didn't have any other, he didn't have a child. Or another pshat is he says, I may have a son, but I also want to have a daughter left. Shalach lechasa, so then he sent to him vegetables, which means you should have rachmanis. So of course the Mefarshim asked the question, this seems to be difficult to understand. The Rebbe keeps on changing his mind. So they explained that actually, when Rebbe said Kos Barta, he didn't mean that you should be killed. Rebbe meant that you should have Kos Barta, that you should have Rachmanis on your daughter. But what happened was, Antigonus misunderstood what Rebbe said. And he understood that Kos Barta means to kill the daughter, which he didn't like that piece of advice. So Rebbe sent him Chasa to say, I never meant to kill that your daughter should be killed. I meant Chasa, I meant that you should have Rachmanis on your daughter. Kayama have a shadalay to have a precha. Every day Antigonus would send to Rebbe a bag full of gold pieces, broken bread pieces, but trasa, he would send them in big bags, v'chita pamayu. But because again he didn't want them to see that he was sending Rebbe gold, he had wheat on the top of the bag. Amalhu, amta chita l'Rebbe. And he would say, he would tell his servants, bring this wheat to Rebbe. Amalei Rebbe l'tzrichnam. Isli Tuva, as we know, the Rebbe was a very wealthy person, and he said, I don't need this, I'm Baruch Shem wealthy. Amma, so Antigonus said, hold on to it. Why should you hold on to it? Lehev l'manda besroch. It should be left for your descendants, the Yehav l'besroi, that will give to my descendants. Dasa besroch dasa minayu, that the children, my descendants, and your descendants will, again, be together, but they won't have the strong positive relationship the Rebbe had with Antigonus. So he said they'll have this gold to be able to use to get what they need. The Antigonus had a cave that went directly from his house to Rebbe's house, and I saw fascinating that the length of that tunnel was 12 mil, says the Al-Sheikh. And it went straight from Rome to Rebbe's house in Tzipiri. Says the Gemara, again, Havalei Ahuna Krasa, Aili Mibes Lebei Rebbe, that went directly from Antigonus' home to Rebbe's home. Kocha Yoyma have a Maisa Trey Avdi. Every day when Antigonus would go to Rebbe, he would take along two servants. Chad Katle Ekbada the Rebbe, one would be killed as they came to Rebbe's house before they entered, that he shouldn't be able to tell anybody that he's coming to Rebbe's house. And then he would leave another Eved there that he took along with him to take him back when he went to Rome. And when he got to Rome, he would kill him when they got to Rome. As the Mashah and the Yavetz both explain, the reason he took these two avadim is because, especially the way we're learning, is that these two it was such a long trip, and Antigonus, who was a king, didn't take them both along. The reason he killed one immediately and only let one survive, why didn't he have both of them walk him home? So the Yaivitz explains, the Taurus Chaim explains, because he was worried that if there were two of them, they may not let him kill them. They may gang up on him. So that's why he killed one, so that should only be, once the other one was aware what happened, there's only one left. He wasn't worried about that one being able to do anything wrong to him. But Taisus asks, how is Antigonus allowed to do this? We know, we speak often in Ashurim about the Zayin Mitzvah B'nai Noach. And one in the Zayin Mitzvah B'nai Noach is Ritzicha, that a Nochri is not allowed to kill anybody. So how did Antigonus kill these people? So one teretz that Taisus gives, is it goes back to what we said a few moments ago, is Habala Hargucha Hashka Lahargai. And since Antigonus was concerned that these people would ultimately kill him, he had the right to kill them. Another pshat I saw is that he specifically took Avodim, he took these people that were Chayiv Misa anyway. And since they were Chayiv Misa anyway, so killing them didn't represent doing anything wrong. So again, Chad Katla Baba the Rebbe, Chad Katla Baba the Beisei. Amalei, so Antigonus said to Rebbe, Bidna, I ask of you, Bidna the Sina Lanishka Gavra Kamach, that when I come to visit you, no one else should be there. Because I don't want anybody, to, as we see, he was so concerned that his coming to Rebbe should not become known. One day he met Rebbe Chanina bar Chama that was sitting with by Rebbe when he came to visit Rebbe. Amma, so Antigna says to Rebbe, didn't I ask you that when I come, no one should be here? So Rebbe said to him, less than banash. He's not in the category of a person, he's in the category of a malach. Amalei, so Antigna says to Rebbe, Rebbe Chanina bar Chama should go out and tell the person who's sitting by the door that he should come and get up. And he didn't tell him that he killed him. What was he trying to do? He was trying to do was, here Rebbe said about Rebbe Chanina bar Chama that he's like a malach, so he wanted to see if he could do another pshat, as we're going to learn right now in the Gemara, is that he wanted to test him if he'll know what to do in this difficult circumstance. He saw that this person was killed. Amma, and now Rav Chanina says to himself, hey, Chavid, exactly what should I do? If I'm going to go tell him that he was killed, the halach is a person should never be the one that carries bad news. If I should just go away, the king is waiting for my response. So what Rav Chanina bar Chama did was that he davened that this person should have tchias amesim, the shadre, and he sent him back to Antignus. So Antignus said to Rebbe, Yodana zuti dispo mechai mesim. Now I realize that even somebody who's just in the category of a Talmud has the ability to do tchias amesim. But he said to him, I still ask you, my original request that no one should be here when I come visit you still is in effect. So Al Gemara here discusses that one should never be the bearer of bad news. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Siman Tov Beis, Sif Yud Beis, says, Mish Shemes Lemeis V'Lei Nadaloi, if a relative of someone passed away and he isn't aware of it, ain chay v'shemerloi. There's no special reason to let him know. Even if it's a parent, and the halach is so far that let's say somebody is a ovel, but he doesn't know, so he's not really allowed to attend a wedding. Am I allowed to invite him to the wedding? Because if I won't invite him to a wedding, he's going to think, why didn't he invite me? And if I do invite, so I could invite him, and even though I'm causing that an oval should attend the wedding. Of course, the halacha is that midvar shechet tirchet, that you're not allowed to lie. And if somebody is concerned that his relative passed away, and he asks explicitly, you're supposed to say the truth. But you're supposed to avoid saying something not true. However, the Maramshik, the Shas of Chuvas Maramshik, Eirachayim Simen Chavov, that if somebody's parent passed away and there's nobody saying Kaddish, then one should notify the children to say Kaddish. But the Shas of Chuvas Marash Engel quotes Reb Baruch Tam that let's say somebody had a number of children, so and one of them is aware, the number of sons, and one of the sons is aware that his parent passed away, and he's saying Kaddish. So even though, as we know, normally all the children say Kaddish, still, we should not notify the other children. Again, to avoid being the bearer of bad news, don't notify the other children because there's already a Kaddish being said. Furthermore, he says, the entire discussion of notifying is only by children because children will say Kaddish. But siblings who don't say Kaddish, there is no point. But then there's a question, what about not explicit notification? So I saw that the Paiskim say, for example, in certain towns, every day after davening, they would clap, they would bang on the bima three times, on the day of Levaya only twice. That's okay. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld has a tshuva, as anybody who's ever visited Yerushalayim knows, that there are signs put up when there's a levaya. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says that even though we're learning our Gemara, that one should avoid bearing bad news, just putting up a sign or putting up a notification in a newspaper is not the same as what our Gemara says about being the one that brings the bad news. Kol yom have a mishamish le Rebbe. Every day a Tignis would take care of Rebbe. Machalei u'mashkalei. He would actually give him to eat and drink. He would actually serve him. Kavaboy Rebbe lemeisel gepurya. And when Rebbe would want to go up to his bed, have a gotten kamek purya, a Tignis would bow down in front of the bed. Amalei, soka levei lepurya. Step on me to get into bed. Amar. So Rebbe said, it's inappropriate to treat a king that way. It's such a lack of respect. Says the Gemara, Omar, Antigna said, I should always have the schus, that I should be the, have, that I could serve you in Olam Haba. And the way I saw the Torah Chaim explains the Gemara, that this is a big schus. Somebody who serves and helps the Talmud Chacham has a schus in Olam Haba. The Taurus Chaim also explains, we know that the Pasuk says, V'rav Yavitzar. Uloim Eloim Yamat V'rav Yavitzar. And what that means is that that both of them, Klal Yisrael and Esav, can't be in the position of strength at the same time. And usually it's the other way around. Usually it was Esav that prevailed. But this was the time where the Pasuk that says, V'rav, that Esav Yavitzar that will serve the Tsar happened. Now this is when it happened. Says the Gemara, Amalei, Rebbe said, Tignas asked Rebbe, Asin al Amadasi, will I have Olam Haba? Amalei in. Amalei Viksiv, but he asked him, doesn't the Pasuk say V'lo Yisrid the Beis Yosef, the Beis Esav, and I'm from Esav's family? Says the Gemara, who is that referring to? That's referring to Esav, somebody who behaves like Esav. You are clearly not behaving like Esav, and you will have Olam Haba. Tanya Mihoche, the Brisa said, all of Esav's children, somebody behaves like Esav. Amalei, but Antigna says to Rebbe Vaksiv, Shama Edom Mechav Nesiha, and that's the prosuk that speaks about Gehenim. Says the Gemara, Amalei Melchah, some kings, V'loi Kol Melchah, and Kol Nesiha, V'loi Kol Sarah, not everybody, you will be excluded. Tanya Nami Hachi, the prosuk says, Melchah, V'loi Kol Melchah, Kol Nesiha, V'loi Kol Sarah, Melchah, V'loi Kol Melchah, who is excluded from the list of kings? Pratlan Tignus Ben Asfiris, you won't have Gehenim. Kol Nesiha, V'loi Kol Sarah, Prat L'Ktiba Shalom. K'tiba Shalom, as we're about to learn, was a minister, but he was excluded. Says the Gemara, what is the story of K'tiba Shalom? Says the Gemara, the story of K'tiba Ben Shalom was the Hu Kisru Davison El Yudei. There was a Roman emperor that hated the Jews. Amlu L'Chshiv De Machusai, he said to the important people in his government, I have a question. If somebody has dead skin on his foot, what should he cut it out? Or should he leave it and suffer? Of course, cut it out and you'll be okay. K'tiyah B'Shalom didn't agree. He said, Chada D'yachle L'kula. The pasuk, you will never be able to destroy all of the Jews. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Kigab ruchas Hashemayim parashti eschem num Hashem." Says the Marmai Kama. What exactly did he mean? Ilam debarat the Baba ruchas that Klai Yisrael all over the world. Hi, then the pasuk should have said ba'ar baruchas. The pasuk shouldn't have said ba'ar baruchas. It should have said le'ar baruchas miboylei. That would be the more appropriate wording. Elo. What he meant, what he told him was, Shem She'ef Shel Olam B'lo Ruchos, the world cannot exist without Ruchos. Same too, says the Gemara, Kachi Ef Shel Olam B'lo Yisrael. He told him, the world cannot exist without Klal Yisrael. And why they compare it to Ruchais? Because the Ruchas shake the world. Klal Yisrael shake the world. And he gave him another reason why he shouldn't eliminate the Jews. Because Karl Amach's Ketia, you will be called a kingdom that's missing an important important part of the population. Amalei, so he told him, Meimishap Kamrit, what you're saying is most correct. However, me called the Zocha Shadle Kamir Nechalila. Whoever is able to beat the king and say better than the king, that means he's embarrassing the king, and thrown into a house of sand, and there he should suffocate and die. Kavanikn Leva Oslan, as they were taking him, Amalehim at Renosai, there was a important Roman woman, said, Vaila for the Azla Baloi Mikhsa, a boat that's going without a sailmast, because since you're being killed because of Klal Yisrael, it's terrible that you're going to die and you never had a bris milah and you won't be able to be together with Klal Yisrael and the Olam Ha'emes. Nofkal Reisha the Rolosa Kata. So he fell on a knife with the Makam Amila to cut it off. Vama Yachsa Mechsi Chalfas Avris. He says, now I paid my tax, I had a bris milah, and now I can be together with Klal Yisrael and Olam Haba. Kikos Sharlei, when they threw him into the house, Amakol Nechsoel Rekiva V'chaverev. He gave over everything to Rabbi Kiva and the Talmid and his Talmidim. Why? Because he knew and recognized that what brings existence to the world, what brings existence to the world is Torah. And therefore, he said, I want to have that schus as I go to the Olam Emes. Yotzer Rekiva V'darish, V'hoysel Aaron Abonav. The Pasuk mentions Aaron Abonav regarding the distribution of the Lechem upon him. And the Gemara teaches us, since the Pasuk uses the words Aaron Abonav, the way it's divided is Mechzel Aaron and Mechzel Abonav. Half to Aaron, half to Abonav. And here too, the way Ketiyah B'Sholem's assets should be divided, half to Rekiva and half to all the other Talmidei Chachamim. B'Yotzeh Baskel V'Amra, a Baskel came out at that moment and said, Ketiyah B'Sholem Azum Lo'olam Chayolam Ba. Ketiyah B'Sholem is going to Olam Haba. Bach Rebbe V'Amra, at that point Rebbe cried. He said, Yesh Kain Olam B'Sho'akas, Yesh Kain Olam B'Kam B'Shonim. Some people get Olam Haba in one moment, and that was him. But I saw that many Mefarshim explain, so why did Rebbe cry? It's something to be happy that this person has Olam Haba. So the Mizritcha Magid said that that's really not something to be happy about. One should get Olam Haba by going step by step, by living a life of Torah mitzvahs. Getting it in one moment, you'll get it, but it doesn't represent the way we really want to earn Olam Haba. And the Rishna would explain that the Gemara says, we learned it, Misha Tark B'Echel Shabbos, Yoichel B'Shabbos. So the way we get Olam Haba Shabbos is by preparing in this world. What he was crying was, and said, so that means, Rebbe was under the impression that let's say somebody spent his whole life doing the right thing, and then at the end, maybe he didn't do the right thing. He'll still get Olam Haba. We can't ignore his entire life. But what we learned here was that you could lose Olam Haba. We can lose Olam Haba in one moment. And because he saw that if we could gain Olam Haba in one moment, you could also lose Olam Haba in one moment. And that was something that was most upsetting to him, that how easy it is. It's easy maybe to get Olam Haba, but you can lose it even in a short amount of time. I saw somebody once said, it takes a lifetime to earn Olam Haba, and you can lose it in a moment. Atignas Shem Shel Rebbe, Atignas was the assistant to Rebbe. Atignas took care of Rebbe, and Adruchan, who was a very important non-Jewish person, Shem Shel Rav, was the served Rav. Kishachav Atignas, when Atignas died, Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, Nisparda HaKavila. This connection that we had was separated. We were so connected now we don't have that connection anymore. It says the Gemara is saying Kishachav Adaktin Amar Rav Nispar de Chavila. I did see that the Mefarshim that suggest that even though these people who were not Jewish were tzaddikim, and in this world they had connection to tzaddikim, their connection was not on the same level that in the Olam Haba they could be together. And when Nispar de Chavila means that although we had a connection in this world, in next world we're gonna not be able to be together.